Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider High School Football Playoff Edition. And we're sponsored today by our good friends at CNOS, Sioux City Ford Lincoln on Singing Hills Drive, and Fairway Grocery Stores of Siouxland. And my advice with the weather dropping this weekend, go grab a nice nice chuck roast, throw it in the crock pot Saturday or Sunday, and have at it. So plenty of good football on both days. And some great high school action starting tomorrow night here across the state of Iowa, South Dakota as well, and Nebraska. And Mitch, I'll let you go ahead and kick things off here in South Dakota. There's a few schools that you want to touch on that are playoff worthy and playing tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's going to be a cold one, windy, especially yep. in the areas that we're covering. Sioux Falls Christian versus a Dakota Valley team that played earlier in the year. And Sioux Falls Christian won 14-7, a bit of a game where Dakota Valley just couldn't seem to get it over the hump. It was the third week of the year, and Sioux Falls Christian came in 0-2, Dakota Valley 2-0. It was their first loss. And then since then, they've handled business when they should have, and then lost the game that I think that were losable for Dakota Valley standards. He went up against the Del Rapids team, who's number one in the state, won it last year. Yeah. And then the Lennox game was kind of a bit of a hiccup, but I mean, I could see them losing a game like that. Now you just got to redeem yourself. You got to play up against the Sioux Falls Christian team who you played earlier in the year. And, you know how you match up with them. You've already seen game film. You've seen how you play.
You have four quarters to show you what you need to change or adjust.
And they're a team that's going to really slow the game down. We saw it happen with them. And then they took the momentum that they got in the second half, came back, and I believe scored. I think it was 7-0 going into half and scored 14 unanswered. So it's just going to be a game that's, you got to play a full four quarters of football. This team knows what they need to do. They've had good leadership throughout the whole season, but it should be definitely an interesting one. You don't want to hope that either team looks ahead, because more than likely you are going to play Del Rapids in the next game, but it's going to be interesting as we move forward, because now, I mean, there's only eight teams left in the South Dakota side of brackets, whereas in Iowa we still are in the Sweet 16 brackets. Yeah. But then you go over to that'll be just closer to home. Elk Point Jefferson takes on Tri-Valley, who they beat earlier in the year after giving up 14 early points, came back and secured a victory 24-14, one of their closest margins of victory on the year, and finally got guys back healthy. That'll definitely help them. And it should be, I would assume, another victory for Elk Point Jefferson, just the way they've been playing. And for them, too, you can't look ahead. Because your next game more than likely is going to be up against the championship match you had last year against Winner. Winner is taking looks from the looks of it, just score box wise, isn't as lethal and potent offensively as they have been in years past. But definitely don't want to look ahead, because obviously this Tri-Valley team gave you everything you wanted and then some last time you played. That was at Tri-Valley. Now you get a return the favor and kind of make this one a no contest playing at home. And like I said, it's going to be a chilly one. It's going to be, I think, a lot of teams that don't have the luxury of playing inside. I know there's a couple of games in Iowa being played inside in some domes.
And you had mentioned the wind, too.
Just in the Sioux City area, is swirling around 21 miles an hour.
Yeah.
It's going to be just above or right at 40 degrees. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be a cold game.
Yeah.
And, barring any fields today, they got a lot of rain, especially in the Siouxland area.
Right.
If you're not playing on turf, it's going to be some nasty conditions. I see running the football being in a lot of teams' repertoire going into Friday.
Yeah.
But it's going to compete for some old school football. I think in the sense for Dakota Valley, that helps them out. They're more of a run first team. They do have Luckin at quarterback who can throw and distribute the football. And then you go to Elk Point Jefferson and their side. That's a dynamic running attack that can also do it through the air. And then they're really, really good on the defensive side of the ball. They have been the last 2 years, and that's kind of what got them to winning the championship last year. And it's just going to be that same mentality of, hey, teams aren't going to come to our house, or, teams aren't going to overlook us if you're Elk Point Jefferson or Dakota Valley. And should be some good ones. Hopefully we're cheering for both teams as they go on to take on the number one team in the state next week after they get good wins.
Yeah, exactly. and then swing it back over to the state of Iowa, and you've got some eight-man information for us.
Yeah, we'll just kind of go
local teams.
Eight-man up through the classes and finish off 5A.
Yep.
We're fortunate enough to have at least one team still alive in all the brackets, and I think it'll definitely stay that way for eight-man. Rems and St. Mary's, you know, we talk about them in every sport. I think they're, until proven otherwise, they are the top dog.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird the way that they're actually playing an away game. They're going to Algona play against Bishop Garrigan on the road.
Strange deal, yeah.
Going into the season, they had just won it all last year. They haven't lost a game yet. But, I mean, you know, it's a different challenge that will face them. I mean, Bishop Garrigan's a really good team. They have a sophomore quarterback that's done really well, thrown, completed over 50% of his passes for 1,000 yards and also ran for 330 yards, combining for 24 touchdowns. So a guy that on the ground can get it done as well as through the air. But just what Landon Walschmidt's done at the quarterback position, you know, after last year losing your starter, your main starter at quarterback, your main starter at receiver, and then just coming back and basically doing it all over again. I think the jump that Landon made from a sophomore to a junior this year is incredible. And that's the thing that's crazy is he's coming back for his senior season, that junior class with him and Colin Holman and a couple other guys, they're going to be really tough to beat. I don't want to say three-peat yet because you still have to get to the dome to make it a two-peat.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an interesting style of game. These teams both rush the ball extremely well, which I said is going to have to be a key factor, especially the games played in Iowa outside, you kind of on these nastier conditions for fields. 6.5 yards a carry for Rems and St. Mary's to 5.8 yards a carry for Bishop Garrigan. And, you know, normally in eight-man football, you see passing stats be kind of over-exaggerated just because all these teams do is throw. Now, granted, they do throw for 14 yards, almost 15 yards of completion, and 16 yards per completion, but only 1,000 yards respectively for Bishop Garrigan and 850 for Rems and St. Mary's. So these are teams that focus really well defensively. They don't like to give up a lot of points, and they run the ball and play clock management on the offensive side of the ball. So it's going to be really comparable styles of teams that you kind of go up against in practice. Looking at similar matchups, Harris Lake Park, a team that Rems and St. Mary's just beat 52-23 the week prior, played Bishop Garrigan and narrowly lost that one 20-14. So Bishop Garrigan definitely going to have to get points on the board to hang with this Rems and St. Mary's team.
Mm-hmm.
But their styles mash really well together. I anticipate this one to be a lower scoring game, and Bishop Garrigan's going to keep this one close for at least three quarters.
Yeah, should be a four quarter game, and it, you know, could end up being a one possession game as well. So fantastic game scheduled for tomorrow night between those two teams. And what do you got next here, Mitch?
Moving up, two teams that have met each other and aren't actually super far away from each other. MMCRU is having a great season.
Yes.
Goes to town to face on against Woodbury Central.
Yeah.
MMCRU does have two losses on the year. One of them to Akron Westfield, who will be playing on the other side of the bracket. Which that'll be another good game too, because they're going up against a really good Logan Magnolia school.
Yep.
Two teams are going to clash there as well. Winner of that game will take on the winner of this game.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think looking statistically wise, he doesn't force the ball down the field as well as Clunder does. But Jonah Peterson's a darn good quarterback for a senior. Completed over, well over like 65% of his.
Nice. Stat accumulation.
Yeah, 1,600 yards through the air, 22 touchdowns, and he's ran for 331 and 9 touchdowns. And you go to the other side, and Drew Clunder's done pretty much the same thing, 109 of 191 for 1,900 yards, so 300 more yards, 21 touchdowns, and 329 rushing for 9 touchdowns. So Jonah's got him beat by 2 yards rushing, same amount of touchdowns,
yeah,
1 passing touchdown, and then Drew's got him beat by 300 yards. So really two comparable quarterbacks that are going to go against each other. Both seniors, both want to go out on a win. I think when you switch over, the difference that goes to the side that I think favors Woodbury Central is number one wide receiver in Eric McGill and number one running back in Zach Butler.
Yeah.
Kyler Bork and Bryson Mulder on the other side, sophomore and senior for MMCRU, are very good. Mm-hmm. But I haven't seen a trio of quarterback, running back, and wide receiver that has played as well as those three have for Woodbury Central this year.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, we're very familiar with Woodbury Central. Been to watch them play several times. And then I just wanted to mention, too, Logan Magnolia. If you're out and about that night, that game's at Lamar's. Logan Magnolia 8-1 versus Akron Westfield 8-1. You'll see what's considered to be the best offensive lineman in the state of Iowa for Logan Magnolia in Grant Bricks. And the Huskers are giving it a hell of a try in the recruiting. I saw somebody tweeted at me that they parked the Nebraska football semi out in front of Logan Magnolia at school the other day, and his list consists of Nebraska, Kansas State, and Oklahoma is still in the mix there. So, you know, go check him out, D1 lineman. Just thought I'd throw that out there, Mitch.
Yeah.
Really, really good football player. He's got SEC offers, and, you know, somebody that's, you know, kind of a UFO around here. We don't get a lot of kids like that.
No, so. And the thing that's crazy is that it's almost going to be a higher temperature outside than the amount of passes Logan Magnolia's thrown on the year. 37 passing attempts, it'll be 36 degrees, so we're really teetering on that. But what they do so well, Logan Magnolia does, is they just run the ball down your throat, and they run you to death. Almost 3,000 yards on the ground, 6.3 yards per carry, and 37 rushing touchdowns.
Yeah.
Akron Westfield does a really good job of ground and pound themselves. They're a little bit more efficient through the air, but both teams are just going to have to take care of the football. I think in a game like this, it's going to go down to turnovers, because I think both teams equally as well are going to be able to drive down the field offensively. It's just going to be who is able to get those hidden yardage in, you know, in any sort of turnovers or punting situations, to where you're going to make an offense have to travel a lot longer down the field. And, you know, games like this, it's – you always, as a coach, are kind of told to, hey, second half we want to receive. A lot of these games are, it's the first game of the playoffs for anyone in Iowa. It's a tone setter type of game. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, in a game like Akron Westfield and Logan Magnolia, you want to go out. If I'm Logan Magnolia, I take the opening kick and I drive 80 yards or whatever it is down the field, and I punch it in and go, this is what you're going to get for the rest of the remaining 3.5 quarters of football, and are you going to be ready for it? And I think same thing with Akron Westfield. It's going to be a game that's played within the 20s, like 25-35 range, I would say, and just a lot of rushing yards, especially. Their conditions are a little bit better, lower winds and a little bit higher temperatures. So we're nearing the 40 mark and less winds. But it should be a really good one. And, you know, I think the winner of that game goes up against the winner of the Woodbury Central game. And if it is Woodbury Central has already played both opponents already, so they kind of know what they're getting. So it should be a really good matchup there in A.
It's a good-looking pod.
Oh, yeah, that pod, I think any team that gets out of that pod, advancing, obviously, then they'd be one of the final four left going up to Cedar Falls. I think any one of those teams can make some noise, win at least a game down there, and make their case for to be playing championship day. So we'll move into 1A now, and a team that I don't want to say has surprised me, but they really have. You know, a team that's really young and coming off of, you know, historic seasons after historic seasons with the DeGenes that have been playing there. OABCIG is a team that's really, really sneaky. Their last five games were already 5-0. So that's a lot to getting the ball moving. And they've won some games in some dominant fashion. They've won some games in some close margins as well. Ridgeview and Hinton, they both won by single score games. Then they blew out West Sioux. Blew out Lawton Bronson and then just beat up on Shenandoah as well. And you go to the other side, West Sioux had to go to Trainer. That's who the team OABCIG is playing.
Yep.
And although better record on paper Trainer has, they are actually the away team in this matchup up at OABCIG on Friday night. And I did hear that there's probably going to be a special guest in the crowd, and unfortunately he can't strap him up anymore for the Falcons, but you know, Cooper DeJean will be there, and if that's any extra motivation for the crowd to be huge and for the players to play well, I don't know what is, but a really good season so far offensively for OABCIG, 13.9 yards through the air per attempt and 4 yards on the ground per rushing attempt. These teams kind of mirror each other, but you know, I think if in games where teams are so close, a lot of times a team that has to travel a decent amount of ways and a team that plays at home gets that advantage. You know, in the sports books, they like to give them 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
I think OABCIG is for a good 3 points in this game, and it should be a good one versus Trainer. And you know, they just keep their head down and keep advancing, and people stay quiet about them until they need to talk about them, and they're okay with that. But I've liked what I've seen so far out of OABCIG this year.
Yeah, and you know, all the news out of camp there this past August was how young they were, and they just all needed reps. So, I mean, the culture's already been established with that coaching staff, and you know, these are all good kids there, and given a hell of an effort. So nice to see OABCIG at 7-2 and playing when the leaves are on the ground. So should be a good one.
Going into 2A now, and the way that the pods are set up, Marty, we could see a West Lyon Central Lyon matchup in the championship game.
Yeah.
Pod 3 has West Lyon go up against Western Christian, who is a very good team this year. Should be a very good matchup. You know, I think if you look at the matchup of those two teams, it's a Western Christian team that's 7-2, and going up against both of the schools that they are more than likely going to end up playing, Central Lyon and West Lyon. They lost both those games. Lost to West Lyon 20-3 and lost to Central Lyon 42-7. I see another low-scoring game with just the defensive effort West Lyon's been able to produce all season long. Just looking at their last five games, a total of 25 points have been scored against them. With that shutout loss to Central Lyon, they played in their first round game, or their last postseason game, excuse me, won 50-0, 35-7, 38-8, and 20-3 against Western Christian, the Wolfpack, all the way back on the 22nd of September. Should be a really good game. Again, I with the conditions, mid-30s, 20-mile-an-hour winds, it's going to be a run-heavy game, I think, and the way West Lyon plays defensively against the run is going to be huge for them, impactful for them. And then they're going to go on and in their pod, they have Spirit Lake in New Hampton. I think Spirit Lake takes that one. So
Spirit Lake's got a good ball club.
Spirit Lake matchup going into you know, the semis, setting up a date to go to the Dome is going to be a really special one. And then you go to the other side with Central Lyon. They play a Roland Story team who kind of unfortunately got a short end of the stick. They're 7-2, but they got matched up against the best team in 2A.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of that pod, Kemper Catholic, a team that's, you know, quietly made some moves, sit 7-2. They play Clarinda. And, you know, if Kemper Catholic's able to get a victory here, Central Lyon is grouped with a pod of all 7-2 teams. Like, these teams aren't, like, it's not like just a team that just skipped in. Like, Union Community plays against Van Meter. They're 3-6.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. I think the committee wanted to test Central Lyon and be like, hey, I know you guys won it all last year. You guys did lose some. How good is the talent on this roster? We're going to throw you in an absolutely loaded bracket in pod one. Central Lyon just has to handle business. They got two outstanding D1 commits that are going to do exactly that on offense. They're so hard to stop. And until someone can limit them like the way West Lyon did, I'm going to keep picking Central Lyon every time.
Yeah. Referring to Graham Eben, Iowa Hawkeye football commit, as well as Reese Vander Zee. Couple Hawkeye commits, good talents, excellent athletes, and they've kind of shown the way for their team this fall. And that experience last year playing in the Dome and winning it was Zach Lutmer. You know, that's huge. Those guys been there, done that. And, you know, I feel that you're right. They probably did pitch them a little bit more of a fastball here, squaring them up with Roland Story. But so be it. You got to win in advance anyhow. It doesn't matter who's away.
You're going to have to more than likely play. You're going to have to play good teams regardless. I'd rather you not cakewalk into the and kind of sleepwalk into the dome to where you're ready. The only thing that like gets you a little worried is these teams are a lot more physical than some teams that you would face, and you know you want to make sure that you do walk in and don't limp into to the dome. So it's going to be something to keep your eye on for sure. Going to 3A, Harlan makes it at 6-3. They got a tough task going up against the last of the undefeateds in 3A against Creston. I got a feeling their story ends here, but you know, crazier things have happened, and I can never count out a Harlan team, especially what we saw in the championship game last year. But that's in pod one. Then they got to take on either a Webster City or Nevada matchup, which is a very good eye opener too. Moving on down to the bracket we're looking at, pod four, Algona and Sioux Center, really good matchup. I like Sioux Center's just overall talent. They won the district over Bishop Heelan with the game that they played against them, an 8-1 record. And you know, you go all the way back to the beginning of the year, Sioux Center's only loss was to West Lyon in the first game of the season. So very intriguing game. I believe that game was like 14-2 or 14-3. Very, very low scoring game. So Sioux Center is going to be able to, they got another, a very good tight end that they have on display over there in Sioux Center. And then going to the game that we're going to take in, Clear Lake, both teams 8-1, three teams 8-1 in pod four. I think that's another, talked about how good their football has been played in 3A. There's 6 8-1 teams. And then the 9-0 and a couple 7-2s. You know, I think the worst team, if you want to put in quotes, the worst team that made it is a 5-4 Humboldt team, and that team's still really good.
Yeah, they are.
And can make some noise against Williamsburg. But Bishop Heelan and Clear Lake, that's going to be a really interesting game. I think Heelan the whole season's been able to make way with what they've had. And, you know, it's been a banged-up roster. If that roster can get healthy going in and is healthy going into this game on Friday, I like Heelan's odds.
Yeah, I really do too, Mitch. And let's just talk about Heelan for a minute here. I mean, it's our local team here. Head coach John LaFleur last year, 2-7. He's +6 in the win column this year. As you said, they're 8-1. Just done a lot of good things. And as you mentioned, they've overcome quite a few serious injuries. And, you know, credit goes to the seniors on the team and the coaching staff, but for my money, senior quarterback Quinn Olson been extremely accurate this year. 61% completion rate, 17 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's got a 142 QBR rating, which is excellent. And you know, he's also rushed for 655 yards. That's 8.4 yards per carry with 11 scores on the ground. Ricky Foto, senior, stepped in at running back, 686 yards. Kaysen Thomas is a kid that's really flashing. Sophomore, excellent prospect. Sir Brandon Watts has been good offensively. And, of course, senior tight end Cannon Bork, who recently verbaled to the University of Sioux Falls. He's a good one as well. And, you know, that makes me want to mention there's two really good tight ends playing in this game. Cannon Bork and then Thomas Meyer. For Clear Lake, who is also a really excellent college prospect.
Yeah, you talk about Thomas Meyer, and I think the other junior in his class, Titan Schmidt, the running back. 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns. Yeah. They've run the ball extremely well. They run it a lot, 414 attempts to Bishop Heelan's 289, but they have rushed for nearly 2,500 yards at a 5.9 yard average. For 27 touchdowns. You go to Heelan's side, 7.5 yards a carry. That definitely helps Quinn sit in the pocket a little bit more because you dial up so much for the run, and he knows that he has a running game that he can rely on to where they really scheme open some guys too. And, you know, Quinn's been, you know, I would say deadly accurate for the most part this year. You know, only 947 yards, but I think he could even have more. You know, if a couple of the incompletions are obviously made in some games.
And he was down a few weapons.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Down earlier in the year, but still 17 touchdowns and 11 on the ground. You know, with his dual threat ability, you can't take anything away from him. You can't have him sit in the pocket because he'll dissect you. You can't force him out of the pocket because he can beat with his legs. Then you put the running backs in there with Photo, and then you have Sir Brandon Watts as well on the outside. It's a team that's very well come together from a team that won two games last year, and we're going to have a really good one on our hands. You know, a team that on the other side, and you know, Cale Stephenie, the senior quarterback, doesn't turn the ball over very much either on his side, so it's a game that's won with all three phases. Both teams are really good on special teams, good offensively and good defensively. It's a really interesting matchup going into the first round of the playoffs. You know, with Bishop Heelan having to travel, that might be a point that you give to Clear Lake, but it's going to be a really good matchup, probably the closest matchup in all of 3A.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't want to be short-sighted offensively here, so let's credit the offensive line too. I mean, they've really flipped the script from last year where they really struggled picking up the inside run game on blitzes and things like that. And they've really matured over the last year here. And just a quick rundown, some linebackers really make an impact for Heelan in order for them to be successful. Friday night, Max Delaney, senior, 40.5 tackles. Photo, again, kids always run the football, just a baller, 37 tackles. The sophomore, Kaysen Thomas, 34 tackles and 14.5 tackles for loss, which is huge. And then junior Will Petit, 32 tackles on the season. So, yeah, great game set to take place there. And let's not forget two head coaches played together at Iowa. You've got John LaFleur, who was a defensive tackle, and Jared DeVries, a defensive end at Iowa, that went on to play for the Detroit Lions and a couple other teams too. So, you know, all the emotions will be there tomorrow night at Clear Lake.
Yeah, it should be a really good one. And moving into 4A and a Clash Lamar's, a team all year that we talked about, had two losses on the season, matches up against a Lewis Central team who was in the championship game last year against Xavier.
And they were good, boy.
And, you know, they return a lot. That loss to Dennison Schleswig definitely hurt in their chances, because now they go on the road to a Lewis Central team. Mm-hmm. But you go back and Lewis Central, you know, has a 5-0 matchup against them. They won last year 57-7. It's a lot more. It's a lot different of a Lamar's team when you have a healthy offense clicking on all cylinders with Tegan Castle, Bo Waddle, and the rest of that senior class that's done a really good job. You know, after that loss, we wondered how they were going to respond, went in, handled business against Storm Lake. This game's going to be pretty interesting. You play it at Lewis Central, so it's on a you know, a college type feel. Granted, you are playing on the road, but this Lewis Central team, you know, in years past has always been a team where you're like, they're easily the favorite. They're not the favorite anymore. Like, this team has shown that they can be beat. It's just on how you're going to attack it. You go to the rushing yards, and it's they couldn't be more identical. 2,045 rushing yards on the season for Lamar's and 2,024 rushing yards on the season for Lewis Central. Both teams run the ball extremely well. It's what Lewis Central does in the passing game that's going to be the factor in this one. 19 touchdowns to the air. They do have 7 picks, but they've thrown the ball for 1,100 more yards than Lamar's has. It's going to be a game of controlling the pace and the tempo for Lamar's, keeping the ball on their side with the offense for long, sustainable drives, getting away with 7 points rather than 3. They have a great kicker, but they want to just kick an extra points, not field goals in this one, to come out victorious. But it should be a good matchup. I think, you know, this will be the first time in quite some time where Lewis Central is actually tested with their first-round matchup. And it just kind of just depended on the way that these teams all got matched up. But Lamar's, you know, I kind of feel bad for him, because you'd like to see him get matched up against a team with the same amount of experience in the playoff realm, not a team that's you know, been in the last 2 years has won one and been in the championship game because they kind of know how to handle themselves. But I have a lot of faith in this senior class from Lamar's. And, you know, Coach Vigdahl's done a really good job all season long.
Yeah.
And I'm and not going to.
This is their second playoff berth in a row. So,
yes.
You know, so, I mean, he's building. And, you know, I told him personally, you were there too. It's impressive what he's been able to do there at Lamar's. And their numbers are good. We saw that attending practices earlier this season. You know, a lot to be proud of with that program.
It's going to be an interesting matchup. And then on the other side, ADM goes to Denison Schleswig. An interesting matchup there, Denison Schleswig, like we said, winning out that side of the bracket with their win over Lamar. So they get to host a game against ADM. ADM, a team that, you know, this year has been hit or miss in some games. They've lost three, but the six games they've won have been very impressive. And then, you know, down in the, like, kind of the Omaha side, Glenwood in pod three, I think they would be the favorite to get out of pod three for me. And it's just going to be an interesting matchup. You still have Xavier, who's a tricky team in pod four, going up probably against the North Polk team. Western Dubuque's looked like the clear-cut number one all season in 4A.
Yeah.
North Scott on the other side, too. Just a lot of teams that we don't get the chance to cover just because they are on that side of the state.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of good talent and good teams playing. That ball's going to be flying around on Friday, this Friday and next, and be interesting to see. But, you know, I'm not going to count out the dogs until they've barked their last bark, you know.
Yeah.
So moving into 5A, our last bracket, Houston East, after losing to Johnston, does get into the playoffs. I think that's probably the only side of good news. The bad news is you have to play against the number two team in the state in Dowling Catholic, whose only loss was a double overtime loss to the number one team in the state last week. It's a team too. Then I think the young production that Sioux City East has had, no matter how this game goes, you can look at this and go, man, this team next year is only going to get better.
Yeah.
You know, Cal Jepson as a sophomore put up numbers to where I was like, okay, I knew he was going to put up some numbers just because of the class he had around him, especially the class graduating.
And the system he plays in. Bob Goodwin's system is very quarterback friendly.
And then you have the defensive minded and Winkelpleck and all of his guys.
Yeah.
You know that they're going to be in some games. But the numbers that he's been able to put up as a sophomore are very impressive. You have Wagger in the backfield who will be back for another year.
Right.
Then you're going to retain and gain some more pieces going into next year. This Sioux City East team is going to be really good. I think that in some of the games that they lost this year, they get back with experience and they can win next year. This is a 5-win team this year.
Yeah.
Look for them to be on our under-overs at 6 wins for next year. I think that they can control the pace. Their matchup versus a Heelan team that's going to lose a lot after this year is going to be very interesting. One they're going to want to circle on their calendars too.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's any given Friday, just like they say. I mean, any given Sunday, any given Friday night, any team can win. Don't count out Sioux City East. They're just going to have to play mistake-free football and try to force Dowling into some tougher situations. I just think Dowling, you know, top of the roster to the bottom of the roster is so stacked at almost every position. It's really hard to get them on a bad day. But we can sit here and hope that Sioux City East grabs them on a bad day.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm real familiar with Cal Jepson. He's a hell of a competitor. And oh, by the way, if you go to KTIV.com, Amber Salas did a great Sports Force Champion of the Week, and that's Cal. Great interview and just a little bit of insight on a good kid. And extremely talented, 2,319 yards passing, 19 touchdown passes, and protected the ball very well. So Cal gives you that dimension, hell of a baseball player too. And you mentioned Miles Wegger, wide receiver Richard Stewart, senior, 53 receptions, 810 yards, and 6 touchdowns. And they've got some youngsters on defense. It's pretty amazing. Jacob Brayfogle, sophomore linebacker, 45 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss. Freshman safety, Kaysen Claiborne, 42 tackles. Another freshman out at corner, Chris Ford, 42 tackles. Defensive end, senior Keegan Augustine, 39.5 tackles. And then up-and-coming sophomore Colin Pittenger, 37.5 tackles, 6 tackles for loss. Very familiar with his brother, Kale, who's now at Morningside. And, you know, just chip off the old block right there. So, you know, best wishes to East tomorrow night. This is a great experience. The seniors have really done well. And these sophomores and juniors have just filled in. It's just amazing to see how many jerseys are filled by new players this year in that locker room, because they really took a hit graduation-wise from last year's team, who was really an excellent football team.
Yeah, and I think kind of there was a general consensus of this team's going to be good.
Yeah.
But how good are they going to be with the young you know, the young talent that are taking the field every Friday night?
Just got some puppies, just need the reps.
And I think that it kind of plays into their advantage with the guys being so young, that you have an offense that goes out and isn't afraid to do some things and make mistakes. And, you know, with those mistakes, sometimes, you know, things go your way on a pass that you look in film, like, hey, probably shouldn't throw that again, but it worked out in your favor. And, you know, it's just going to be, you just have to come out tomorrow on Friday with a positive attitude, knowing that, hey, we deserve to be here.
Yeah.
We didn't show it very well last week, but we know we have a team, a roster full of guys that can go out and compete, and we just want to play a competitive football game. And you just got to be happy with the result after that. And I think, you know, East will be happy and content with the result they get.
A few things run through my mind, Mitch. You know, when you're an underdog like they are to Dowling Catholic, hey, you got to be successful in short yardage plays. Find a way to move the chains, keep the clock moving. What's wrong with a fake punt? You know, try and flip
nothing,
field position,
it's
and you know,
playoff game. You lose, I mean, you go home. You have nothing to lose.
Just roll the dice. So, hopefully, East has some success tomorrow night over in the Des Moines area.
Yeah, that should be a good matchup. That does it all for our coverage. 8-man through 1A. Obviously, the postseason kicks off also in Nebraska and in South Dakota. It's already in week 2 for the lower schools as well. So it should be just a good weekend of football. If it's going to be cold, I mean, the best day for you to get out and get to a game is going to be Friday.
Yep.
It looks like Saturday they're calling for a chance of snow. So you want to have your butt inside for all those games. So if you can, make it out to some of those games. Marty mentioned there's some close ones like Lamar's. You have Logan Magnolia making the trip up. There's a good game in Woodbury Central. Game's close. Elk Point Jefferson's playing.
Yeah.
A lot of good games that are being played close, so don't really have the excuse of, oh, all the games are far away. There's a lot of good games being played in a 25-mile radius of Sioux City, so it should be a fun one, and we look forward to recapping them all next week.
Yeah, good synopsis there, Mitch. Want to thank our sponsors in closing here, CNOS, Sioux City Ford Lincoln, and Fairway, and we'll talk to you folks again next week.